Hazrat Allama Suyuti Rahmatullahi has narrated, and he states in this narration that once it occurred that in the court, in the blessed company of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram were present, the noble companions were present, and a Sa'il came, a questioner came. And none of the companions present were aware or knew who this questioner was. So the questioner presented a question to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there were a few questions. There were a few questions, and the noble companions radiallahu anhum listened to the questions attentively, and they were very short, concise, but complete questions. And this used to happen frequently, that the noble companions radiallahu anhum, they would have some questions in their heart. They wanted to ask certain questions, and they desired that we want to present some questions or some of the things they were thinking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But due to extreme adab and manners and caution, they could not pose their questions, and they would say that then we would think or hope that Allah please send such a person, a man who will come, a person who will come and who will present and ask questions to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and maybe within his question or questions, the answers to our questions will come. In other words, they had so much adab, they said, we had caution, we could not have the courage that we ourselves come forward and ask. We were silent, and our heads would be bowed, and we'd be silent. We wouldn't even allow the breaths to be heard due to adab. And this was such a company and such a gathering, and this was Allah Ta'ala's hukam, order, and this was the right of the Prophet for adab, for manners. But when somebody would come from outside, somebody new, not used to that environment, somebody from the village areas, even Jibreel alayhi salam would come and ask with the manners, with the adab, with the caution. So this was the tariqah, the method of presenting the question, that when the questions then would come to the Sahaba, or the answers, then this would become deen. And obviously when the Sahaba would present the questions, then Rasulullah would be merciful and give the answer that would benefit all of us. So in the same way, when this Sa'il came, the questioner, he asked various questions. And there was one question from within those questions that was ajeeb and unique and a jamia question, a complete question. And it had the whole, you can say, summary of the deen. And for a mu'min, all of the objective of life was present within this question. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to understand. That just like Allah Ta'ala gives us the ability to listen, may Allah Ta'ala give us also the ability to practice. These are not minor discussions points. These are very valuable points that we are discussing. After listening to these valuable points, those individuals who then go towards action or practice of these points, then this is not in the destiny of everyone. Only that person can do this who has the fadl and the karam, the grace, the mercy, blessings of Allah. Otherwise, who can have the tawfiq, ability to just listen to everything and practice everything? It's not easy, is it? So always when we hear the words of the Prophet ﷺ, then I request that I don't give a speech, and I didn't even feel like speaking today, but just for this reason, that maybe some of my words will affect somebody's heart, and then I can succeed, and that person will also succeed. So this hadith, let's listen to the meaning of this hadith very carefully, which is a very important point that's coming to us. So the question that the Sa'il put forward to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to become a muqarrab. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what does he mean? He meant every Muslim, every mu'min, every mu'minat, every sister, every brother, every human being. Who doesn't have that desire? What a great desire he put forward directly. And obviously with this hope that in that court that I'm presenting my desire, insha'Allah, I will not leave empty-handed or without an answer. And not just me, rather the whole ummah will benefit with the answer. So, think for a moment. Now let's think that one word this sa'il presented, and mashallah, he achieved so much. He said, muqarrab. I want to be the muqarrab in the presence of Allah. I'd like to become a muqarrab. I'd like to become intimate and close to Allah. He could have said that, Allah, forgive my sins. Or Allah, give me paradise. Give me Jannah. Or please increase my status. He could have said this. No. But he said such a word, subhanAllah, that he, make me the muqarrab in the court of Allah, subhanAllah. In Allah Ta'ala's eyes. And muqarrab means qurb. Qurb. Intimacy. Closeness, nearness. In other words, he said he wanted to be from the muqarrabeen, the people who are intimate with Allah. What a massive, high level. In other words, what is he asking for? What is he requesting? A very long request and subject he has summarized and concisely put into one desire. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want Jannah. I want to be saved from hellfire. I want to be saved from the accounting of hellfire. At the time of death, I want to be saved from the hardships, the difficulties. On the day of Hashr, on the plain of Hashr, the day of judgment, the difficulties, I want to bypass them. I want to cross the bridge of Sirat with speed. All of this comes within the status of Muqarrab, the person who is intimate with Allah, close with Allah. And so, Prophet of Allah, I want to cross the bridge of Sirat fast. I want to go into paradise without any accounts. I don't want to be asked any questions on the day of judgment. And further, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his blessed hands, I want to drink the water of Kawthar from the pond of Kawthar. All of these desires he's putting forward. And Muqarrab, the Muqarrab of Allah, I want to become the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. I want his qurb, I want his nearness as well, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And further, can there be any more than this? He said, Allah, I want to get to the station where I visibly see you, didari ilahi. And all of these things he put into his question. This is the detail, lengthy, of being a Muqarrab, close to Allah, intimate with Allah, in nearness to Allah. Just in one word, he has asked for everything, A to Z. He's covered all of the stations, the phases, and the muntazir, the sabakram, subhanAllah, they awoke. They were waiting earnestly, eagerly. What answer is going to come? SubhanAllah. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Now, have we heard, want to do to hear this or to practice this? Tell me, the answer that will come from Rasulullah will come based on amal, practice, action, that do this physically and you will become a muqarrab. If you do this, you will become a muqarrab. So the amal, the action that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied with, the advice, first all brothers, make a promise in your hearts that we will practice this amal. There's a benefit. What a great deed from this one amal that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will explain at this time. What a big action. Big action. So Rasulullah could have said that, pray tahajjud all night to become a muqarrab, or do 100 hajj to become a muqarrab. Rasulullah could have said that, give all of your wealth in sadaqah, give everything away. But what a great thing he's asking for. He's asking for everything that every successful mu'min could ever desire. He's asking for everything in one go. Everything will be attained. And look at the hal, the answer that Rasulullah gave, that one action to get all of these things to become a muqarrab. Think, let's think now. You think, I think, that he is asking for everything in the success of Deen of Islam. Let's imagine that we've got everything of Deen in our hands. I'm not reciting this hadith the first time. Maybe this hadith around the world will have been presented hundreds of thousands of times. People have heard this and recognized this, and they know this amal, this deed that will give this result. But still we don't do this. Still we don't practice. Think. Think that how, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, what a great reward, what a great treasure, what a great question that he's asking, that he is detaching himself from all of the difficulties that can ever come to a human being, and straight he's asking for success, and he's asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me that action that will give me the success. And even the, despite all of this, that when we learn what amal it is, we don't practice it. It's shocking. Surprising. It's amazing that how shaitan and nafs have overwhelmed us. Severely they've overwhelmed us. We cannot explain to anybody. Have you heard? Have you heard? We've heard the hadith. The word comes to us. The amal comes to us. No. We'll make 1,000 excuses. Shaitan will make 1,000 excuses to divert us from these. And we don't understand the pearls that give us success. Let's make a promise to ourselves that today that we're hearing this amal, with the fadl of and karam of Allah, Allah is telling us these points, explaining to us. So insan, those sisters and brothers, those women and men and children who are listening to me, for the sake of Allah, for being grateful to Allah, bring this amal into your life. For the sake of Allah. Will we do this? Will we do this? Inshallah. Because we need to see here that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I always say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is aware of our nature. He knows about this day and age we're living in, the generation we're living in, the modern days we're living in, and all our desires and our needs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Himself that I don't give a person, any person, more of a burden than a person can bear. So when such opportunities come, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rahmatul alameen, mercy to the universe, he was mubashir, he came to give good news. He didn't come to give us warnings for difficulty and put us into problems. Like, for example, we say practice the sunnah, we think, oh, it's too difficult. Rather, this is the path to success in life. The sunnah. This is the azim, the greatest path that will take us to paradise, following and implementing Rasulullah's sunnah. And we've made the sunnah an azab. We say, oh, it's a punishment. Astaghfirullah. Can the sunnah be azab? Punishment for the ummah? Soon as we hear the word sunnah, we fall ill, we get a fever, we get a temperature. No, speak about something else. Why do you keep talking about sunnah? Why are you telling us we have to practice sunnah? Imagine this. Here, Allah's mercy and mercy upon mercy is coming onto the ummah. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that imitate me, obey me, follow me. But does anyone today prefer to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Tell me. Does anyone like? But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you should imitate me, follow me. Follow my footsteps, my track. How merciful he is. Why? Because all we know is what the Quran and the Hadith have told us. That how Rasulullah is close to Allah, only Allah knows, nobody else knows. But in one word is enough for us. That Mahmoobi Rabbil Alameen, the Prophet ﷺ is the beloved of Allah, who is the Lord of the universe. Allah has mentioned this. Allah Ta'ala explained this to all of the Sahaba, that you are great. But Rasulullah ﷺ, you are my Habib. You are my beloved. You are closest to me, my friend. And the person who is the Habib of Allah, then imagine his status. Now I'll give you the example of the status of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ via giving you an example of Hazrat Musa ﷺ. When the magicians came to the court of Fir'aun, and when they invited Musa ﷺ for that sort of contest of belief, and the magicians, when they came, they were wearing their uniform, the magician's uniform that they used to wear at that time, because they came for a challenge with Musa alayhi salam. And when Musa alayhi salam came, and those magicians said that you also wear this uniform, because you are coming to the court of the king, and we should all look the same. This is our principle, that we should all look the same. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam said that I cannot wear the uniform that you're wearing, and the Fir'aun's uniform. Then the magician said, look, we're going to compete, you're going to have to wear this libas. He said, I will not wear this attire, I will not wear it. That's it. And Hazrat Musa, they said, huh? He had Jalal, Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet of Allah, he said, I will not wear this attire that you're wearing. I will not. Ah, but what's possible is that the attire I'm wearing, you can wear that dress code, and then it'll become easy. We'll all have the same dress code. If this is what you desire, that we all look the same, then follow me. Wear what I'm wearing, but I'm not going to wear what you're wearing. He was the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah, alhamdulillah. So they were thinking, he's stuck and he's sticking to his principles. And if we don't present ourselves in the same way, those jamche sidekicks said, then Fir'aun, he'll reject us. And then we will lose. And he will not be happy with us. So it's better that the magician said, okay, let's all discuss with each other, agree that let's wear the attire that Musa alayhi salam is wearing. Then at least Fir'aun will see that we're all in the same libas. And then at least he will cool down with his anger. So the magicians, they spoke to each other, they discussed it, that wear this libas that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam is wearing. And the magicians, they took that attire, they wore the same attire. And who were they? They were the enemies of Allah. They were challenging and competing with the Prophet, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Moses alayhi salam. They were trying to back Fir'aun and help Fir'aun, and they had the seal of kufr on their foreheads. And they were magicians, and a magician is like shaitan, and they compete against the Prophet of Allah. So when they wore the libas, the attire of Musa alayhi salam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh Jibreel, these magicians have worn the attire of my Mahbub, Musa alayhi salam, my Nabi. Now the style of my rahmah will change, my mercy will change. Subhanallah. Allah, the Jibreel said, Allah, these people are your enemies, the magicians. Yes, they are my enemies, Allah said, but they have taken the attire, the color of my Prophet, and my rahmah does not allow that I send them into Jannah, because Allah Ta'ala changes the hearts, isn't it? So now then you know the event after that. When the serpents, they came into the court, and then Musa alayhi salam's serpent, python, devoured all of them, because Allah Ta'ala had announced already in advance that these magicians have imitated my Nabi. Now my rahmah cannot accept that due to their imitation, they have at least imitated my Prophet. Doesn't matter what was the niyyah, and my mercy does not allow for them to go into hellfire. So their hearts were then changed, and all of the magicians spoke out that he is Haq, he is the Prophet, and we are with him. He is the truth. SubhanAllah. Musa alayhi salam said, no, you will have problems, you'll get punished. They said, doesn't matter, but we accept you as the Prophet of Allah. So my brothers, this was Musa alayhi salam's, on his imitation, Allah's rahmah, it showered down onto the magician. So if a person follows the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and imitates him and wears his same attire and dress code, then SubhanAllah, at least if you can't wear it anywhere else, at least come to the masjid in the same way and bring the manners and the adab and the esteem into your hearts, and its azmat and its greatness and its love, and we leave the dekosala, we leave the deception, we leave the dramas and the fake, you know, the fakeness that we have in our lives, that oh, we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say it but we don't bring it physically, we don't want to do nothing and we call ourselves ashiks, lovers, and we don't want to practice anything, and we present that love based on our own feelings and theories and emotions. No, there's only one way to please Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to love Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us himself, he was so merciful that if you want to love me, then he told us the path, straightforward, A, B, C. If you want to love me, there's only one way, one path, that imitate me, that's it. That's it. But no, what will happen? And the dunya shunya will not pass, the ishq will not pass. Then you'll have to become the person who follows me, Rasulullah said. And then what will happen? The maqam, the status you will have. Man ahabba sunnati fa man ahabbani ma kana ma'ya fi jannati. That the person who loves my sunnah ahabbani, Rasulullah said, I love him. And the person who loves me, faqad ahabbani ma kana ma'ya fi jannati. Then I will take that person into paradise with me. SubhanAllah. Small thing. Small practice, but no, we don't want to do it. So my brothers, as I was saying to you, one point, that the questioner came and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard, said, okay, you want to become muqarrab, intimate, close to Allah. Now I will tell you the amal, the action that will allow you to become this. Now this is not a big action or a hard action. Always Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would give an easy answer. You know, just as concise and complete was the question, then the answer from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was more concise and more complete. And the people who are listening will be amazed at such a question and a great answer. Are we prepared to practice? Are we? From today we will start. Solid promise. Okay, fine then. Listen to what I'm about to say. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you want to become the muqarrab, then listen carefully. Dhikr ilahi, become busy in the dhikr of Allah, and your desire will be complete. Say SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Be busy in the remembrance of Allah, dhikr of Allah, and you will become the maqarab. No other action. What did Rasulullah say? That be busy and regular in the dhikr of Allah, and your desire will be completed. Your desire to be a maqarab. So where he asked for the answer of maqarab, what came the answer? Such an answer that was included and more beyond that. Alhamdulillah. That you start doing the dhikr of Allah, Alhamdulillah, with the praise be to Allah, with the blessings, you'll be saved from hellfire, Jannah will be for you, paradise will be for you, you'll be saved from the punishments of the hell, of the grave, because you'll be muqarrab, you'll be close to Allah, you'll be near to Allah, you will leave the hardships on the day of judgment without accounting, going into paradise. From my hands, you will drink the water from the pond of Kawthar, and you will be close with me, you will be my neighbor in paradise that you desire, and you will get the maqam, the station that you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr Allah is that one action that will give all of these things. And how easy. Now look, the hadith is here. I'm not taking this answer out of my pocket, or my opinion, or my brain. Look how great is the action of the dhikr of Allah, and how far we are from this greatness. The dhikr of Allah, if a person gets busy in this, Rasulullah said, become busy in the dhikr of Allah, you will become a muqarrab. Muqarrab. Can we not attain this? Tell me. What a great status. Muqarrab. Intimate with Allah. How great a human being a person becomes when he becomes the muqarrab of Allah. In other words, we are all human beings. And some people are from the muqarrabeen. They are all angels, but they are muqarrabeen, close, intimate to Allah. And the muqarrabeen are very special, select, unique group of people. And a muqarrab human being becomes a great, fantastic human being. Imagine how great he becomes. And that all of the transactions and the phases of the hereafter he attains. And we get that answer here during the lifetime. In other words, for example, you become the assistant of a powerful person in the world. You become the secretary or the deputy of the powerful person in the world. Then you or yourself are lofty in the world. They say, oh, he's the assistant of that powerful person. For example, I'm the assistant of a minister or a leader. Then people will become my sidekicks. Oh, let's become his friend. He will help us. He'll get things done for us. Our requests will be filled. So what about the person who becomes the muqarrab of Allah, the assistant of Allah, the intimate, close person to Allah, the friend of Allah? And all we have to do is what? One action. Dhikr of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. Allah's remembrance. Look here. Now let's think for a moment here. Let's think for a moment. That the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, how much do we have to practice? Yes, they are faraid. They are compulsory actions: prayer, fasting, hajj, zakah, compulsory charity. So why is dhikr over and above these actions? What is the reason for this? Why is dhikr given a greater result than these other actions? Why is Allah Ta'ala elevated the action of dhikr? Allah Ta'ala did, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say pray salah, you'll become maghrab, or fast and you'll become the maghrab, or give zakah, or go on hajj. Because these are amal which are fard, compulsory, high level. Very high level. What's the reason? The reason here is this, that it's not amal that is what works in the court of Allah. Not amal. Rather, what will work? That what action Allah Ta'ala will accept is what will take us to the highest status. So these amal that we're doing, if these get to the status of acceptance, then they'll benefit us. It's prayer, hajj, fasting, zakah. These are great actions. They're the, and from these actions, we'll get the reward and forgiveness and salvation. Everything is in these actions. But dhikr of Allah is afdal. Greater. Why is dhikr? Is it greater an action than prayer? Is it greater than hajj? No. These actions are fard. And those actions will give us success. Don't think that dhikr is made greater. No. That dhikr of Allah, why is it important, essential? What is the secret underlying point within dhikr that makes us get to the rank of acceptance? Because in the eyes of Allah, if the deeds are not accepted, our prayer, fasting, hajj, then they are a waste. Doesn't matter how many prayers we take, how many hajj we take, how much fasting we take. And in the court of Allah, we'll say, throw them away. Send them back. There's no acceptance. It's not according to my status. Throw them away. What will we do? How will we bargain? But in the dhikr of Allah, there's a speciality, a unique strength. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, the person who does dhikr will become a muqarrabeen. The dhikr of Allah has a unique feature, inherent feature that Allah Ta'ala has kept within dhikr. There's a point here. Allah Ta'ala says, within my dhikr. What is that? That when a human being does dhikr, remembers Allah, then ikhlas comes into that person's life. Sincerity. And sincerity is such a quality and a character that due to which our deeds, all our compulsory deeds are accepted. So a person who doesn't have sincerity within him, and if there's no sincerity in our deeds, ibadat, then Allah Ta'ala throws those deeds back into that human being's face. Remember this, and the similarity of that is what? I'll give an example, that in a container. In a container, we put stones, soil, rocks, and it's closed, that container. And we say, oh, there's a lot of money in that container. He's rich, wealthy. He's got a treasure chest. He's got a bag. You know the money bags that we're going to the bank to deposit money, and we put soil and dirt in that bag, and they say, oh, he's taken a lot of money to the bank. Look, his money bag is full. He's rich. And what's in the bag? Soil, dirt, stones. You can't even buy one chewing gum with that money. You cannot buy nothing. So when the people see that, they say he's got nothing. So when we have so many deeds and practice and amal, but when they are devoid of ikhlas, then it looks like that he's a muttaki. He's pious, he's in prostration all the time, he's rubbing his forehead on the ground, he's in sayam and fasting and qiyam, standing for prayer, he's doing many deeds. He looks like a muttaki, fearful of Allah. But the reality is what? That he doesn't have ikhlas. He doesn't have sincerity in his amal. There's no sincerity. And listen further. That if he doesn't have ikhlas, if there's no ikhlas, then what is within that person's practice? Listen. That if we don't have sincerity, then what is inherent in our containers, in our deeds, that they are thrown back in our face, is a big point. This is a very bad quality. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the person who doesn't have the sincerity, then he has the opposite extreme. Rasulullah said that I'm not scared of any other thing within my ummah more than that the quality of shirki asghar, the minor shirk. The Sahaba Akram said, Ya Rasulullah, what is shirki asghar, the minor or the lower level shirk? There's the bigger shirk where we say we don't believe in Allah, or they are partners to Allah. But there's one where we say we believe in Allah and we're doing shirk in parallel. So the Sahaba companion said, O Prophet of Allah, what is shirk? What is shirk? We didn't understand what is shirki asghar. We understand what he's saying by shirk. So Rasulullah said, the shirki asghar, the minor shirk, is riya, is the pride, riya. And where there will be ikhlas, sincerity, there cannot be riya. There cannot be pride. And where there's pride, there cannot be ikhlas. See? So riya, which is pride or showing off. So if there's no ikhlas, no sincerity in our deeds, then all of the deeds and ibadat we do in our life, they will be filled with what? Riya, pride and showing off. And where there's riya, rather than giving us benefit, it will give us the adab, the punishment. Allah Ta'ala will say, give this person adab, punishment. Because the meaning of riya is that the person who doesn't have ikhlas, sincerity, there's no sincerity. So here, that Allah, this deed is not for Allah, it's ghayr Allah. He didn't do this deed for Allah. He did it for showing off recognition. When we do deeds, when I pray salah, nafil, voluntary actions, tahajjud, qiyam, siyam, fasting, people say, wow, he's pious, they praise me, they recognize me, they increase my status in the world, and I'm showing off, and I give speeches and taqreer and wise and lectures. And if I do all of these things, and in these I have the desire that I want to show people that I'm doing this, and it's not for Allah's sake, It's not sincere. Then Allah Ta'ala will ask on the Day of Judgment that, subhanAllah, this is a big hadith. And we learn this from the hadith. That the whole of the hadith tells us that our cabinet, all of the deen, it tells us that alim, the scholars, the hafiz, the qari, the shaheed, the person who gives sadaqah, charity, everyone will be stood there. And as they present it to Allah, Allah will decide that send them into Jahannam, send them into hellfire. Though Allah was a scholar, I was an alim, I was a faqih, a jurist. Allah is khabir, He's the Malik, He knows everything. Who can lie in front of Allah? Allah will say that you didn't do these things for me. You didn't learn knowledge from me. You didn't deliver the speech with me. You did it to show off to people. And people will put the flowers in your neck and give you recognition and money and salute you and give you salam. And this was for your dunya. You wanted to be recognized. Take this person into hellfire. So every human being who will practice deeds in life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he didn't have sincerity in his deeds and he had the recognition desire and showing off and pride, then we will be thrown into hellfire. Do you understand? So how do we save ourselves from this bad, bad result? Ikhlas. Whoever has sincerity in his deeds, then I've explained, those deeds will be accepted in the court of Allah. And what is the value of this? What's the value of ikhlas? Subhanallah, sincerity. The one penny, if we take it, and if I spend that penny with ikhlas, then that penny I spend in the path of Allah with ikhlas will have more weight than the mountains, because there's ikhlas in that penny. Ikhlas. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at quantity, rather what does Allah look at? Lillah, that I'm doing this deed for my Rabb. Yes, like a person asked to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, listen to this carefully. He said, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that due to the fear of Allah, with the fear of Allah, due to the fear of Allah, and solely and sincerely for Allah's sake, purely, I was afraid, and after becoming afraid, I did tawbah, I repented, and I repented from my sins, and after doing tawbah, I started to do one action. For example, take an action wearing the imamah, or that Allah, this is a great sunnah, and you had this thought in your heart, and you're sitting at home, and the tears come out of your eyes, that this much life I've wasted, and in my life I've spent my life without sunnah. Where am I going? What have I attained? Where's my money going to go? And this thought comes in your heart, and then this point comes into your heart. Somebody said something to you, and it came into your heart, and you went and sat down, and after that, you implemented that action. Yes? And in the morning, you put the imam on your head, the blessed imam of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you came out of the house. I'm giving you the description of the hadith here. You wear the imam, the blessed sunnah, you come out of the house, and people say, MashaAllah, wow, you've got the pagri, you've got the imam, you've become this and that, and you're practicing, and you've had got courage and determination, you're following the sunnah. And he said, when I heard this, then I started to become happy. And a pride came, and I became happy that I did this amal. That, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is this riya? And Allah's Nabi says, what is the answer he gave? He said, not riyah, you speak about riyah, you'll get the double reward for this action. Subhanallah. Double thawab reward. Because when you did this amal, when you started to do this action, when you had this desire, that time you had the fear of Allah. You had the desire to have the pleasure of Allah. And you started to do this action for Allah's pleasure. And due to the fear of Allah, that I will start this action today. And this is bad. Allah Ta'ala has given me the tawfiq to do tawbah. And the man or the woman, and you start to do a good action, you follow the sunnah, good actions due to Allah's khawf and tawbah and repentance, the man or the woman, alhamdulillah. So what happens, the daraja, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, you'll get double thawab. Double reward. You are mustahik. You are waiting for that day, for the happiness, and you're not that waiting for the people to recognize you. Rather, it's not the world that's recognizing you, it's Allah who's recognizing you, even though they're saying things to you that might make you feel happy. And you've broken the idol of shaitan and nafs, and you sat in the darkness, and you promised to your Rabb Allah that Allah was on the wrong path. Allah, and I have now recognized that I'm going to come out of this sinful path. And with this sin, he starts the amal. Then he becomes very elevated. Now Allah, even if I get praise, no problem. I'm not seeking praise because I want to please you, Allah. So the difference here is that when you do a deed solely for Allah's sake and his love, that's different. Sometimes when you sit down, no, I do tasbih, I'm ashamed. People will say that this is showing off. Or I'm about to pray nafil and people will say that I'm showing off. This is not showing off. It's showing off such a thing that, for example, if you do any action of Islam and it becomes showing off. Yeah. So imagine and understand that riya is attached to the heart, not your physical body. That if you desire people see you, recognize you, praise you, elevate you, do you want these things? That this is the attack of shaitan. So if you do a good action, never reject it for the feeling that, oh, people are going to say I'm showing off. That don't worry about what people say. Then they are elevating and increasing your reward. Because you're not seeking that recognition. So with this fear, many women and brothers and sisters, they leave the amal. Though maybe if I practice this, people will praise me and I'll feel good in my heart. Beware. Never think like this. Rather, you are closing the doors of acceptance. Allah Ta'ala says that pray nafal, do tasbih, dhikr, recite Quran. Doesn't matter if people see you and elevate you and praise you. This is not riyah. Riyah showing off and pride would be when in your heart you are saying, I'm doing these things. I'm good. I'm better than others. I want them to recognize me. When you feel this, then the pride will come. Recognition will come, desire. But if you're not, then don't think that oh, suddenly pride will just jump on you just like that. No, it has to come from the heart. So what am I saying? The point is that in the akhirah, what will benefit us? In the court of Allah, what will make us the muqarrab, close to Allah? The first step is that our deeds will be accepted. The prayer I prayed today, the salah will be accepted. That's a massive achievement. Or if I do dhikr of Allah, Allah accepts my sitting and your coming. Allah accepts. Can there be anything greater than this? Happier than this? That if one thing Allah Ta'ala accepts in our life, that we will one deed we practice, Allah will make us succeed. Then what more than do we want? Allah says, I won't just accept your deeds. I will make you the muqarrab. You will become the muqarrab. Acceptance is another thing. You will become a muqarrab near to me. Due to what reason? When you do the dhikr of Allah. When you remember Allah. Allah says, become busy. These are the words. You become busy in dhikr and your desires will be fulfilled. What's the reason? What's the reason? The wahid, the dhikr of Allah. Remember this. Wahid. One ibadah, one action is the dhikr of Allah that creates ikhlas and sincerity. The dhakir, who is the person who does the proper dhikr of Allah, the question doesn't arise ever that riyah, the pride will come into his heart. Allah Ta'ala cuts off the connection with riyah, showing off in pride from that person who does the dhikr of Allah. He can never have riyah. And when he has wasawis in the whispering, he should understand his shaitan and my desires that are trying to divert me. I'm the person who does dhikr. From Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the good news has come. The glad tidings have come. That the dhakir, doesn't matter what deeds he does after that, he will do them with ikhlas. He cannot have riyah, pride. And the person who's doing the deed with akhlaq should be quiet and be quiet. And the levels you'll get, Allah knows best, that when the paper will open and the seal, the flap of the letter will open on the day of judgment, his certificate will be presented to him, he will get all of the rewards. And beyond that, my brothers, my friends, dhikr of Allah is a great action. As I've said to you before, such a big hadith has reached to us, arrived to us, such a big solution has come to our hands, to the whole ummah, And we see, who does dhikr of Allah? Nobody. Nobody has time. Nobody wants to do dhikr in the morning, in the evening. We don't do it. We say, what is this? We don't even know. That are we mad that we come here? Are we mad? Are we defective? Are we foolish? Are we crazy that morning and evening we do dhikr of Allah? That don't we know that the dhakirin, what is the status in the eyes of Allah? If Allah makes apparent the status of the dhakirin, of his muqarrabin, I swear by Allah, the world will become shocked. I tell you an event of what is a muqarrab. There was a friend of Allah. He was a muqarrib. He was intimate, close to Allah, dhakir, great wali of Allah. This is written in the kitabs of tasawwuf that I'm telling you. And it was cool weather, cold climate, and the wali of Allah had his blanket wrapped around him and his chappal, his slippers on, and he left his home and he was walking in the village. And there was a shop that used to sell milk. He used to sell milk and cream, make the sweets. And when he walked past that, the man said, oh, look, this man's going, he's darvesh, friend of Allah. He said, brother, come inside, Hazrat. Please come in first. He was opening his shop. And Hazrat, the sheikh, said, listen to this. And he stopped. And then this is a principle of tasawwuf, that from a direction, when somebody helps you, assists you, gives you something, then Allah Ta'ala says to his muqarrabin, that don't reject it, don't refuse that assistance or gift, and understand that this is Allah's help that's coming. Never will a muqarrab refuse. That there's no formalities in their character, because they know that whatever's coming is come from Allah, the Zat, Allah Ta'ala, the Creator. And nobody can take away my rights that are due to me. So the shopkeeper said, stop, please accept my invitation. So the sheikh stayed silent. He said, please come, sit down on the chair. Quickly, he had the container in which he was warming up the milk with the cream, and they make barfi in the sweet shop. So he heated up the milk nicely, put it into the bowl. He said, please drink this, and this will initiate my shop today. And he smiled and he drank the milk. And after drinking the milk, he did dua. I'm grateful to Allah. I was so hungry. Allah, your karam mercy, that via this human being, you gave me the milk. And he gave duas for that man and he left. And there was rain falling and it was mud splashes. And further up, there was like a big puddle. And there was a newly married couple coming towards this sheikh. And you know, when the newly married couple, they walk, and especially the husband wife, there's a lot of fussiness and desires, and the husband considers a lot of his wife, that the wife should have everything top quality. And he was a fakir, poor soul, and he walked past him and he was wearing chappal, you know, the new, like, is made out with the wooden sole. and the splash of the water, the mud, it fell onto the Zawja Mubaraka, the wife of that husband, the newly married couple, and the splashes of the mud fell onto her clothes a little bit, and he couldn't accept this. What's this? This dirty man, this disheveled man, this downtrodden man, and due to the splashes from his footsteps, it's come onto my wife's clothes. And he became angry. He said, "You don't even know how to walk. You have no manners. You have no consideration. And I don't know what you are, fakir. You are this. You dirty man. You this. You poor man. And you spoil the clothes of my wife." And he smacked him in his face to the fakir. To the sheikh. He smacked the sheikh. Then the sheikh looked at him. Then he smiled and he looked to the heavens. And he said, "Allah, you are so great, Allah, so great. Sometimes you give the milk and sometimes you slap. Subhanallah. This is your kamal, Allah." And he smiled and he walked off. After some seconds, that lady, she fell down and she passed away. She died. And just there, a few seconds later, then the noise... The man started to make noise that this Baba, he killed my wife, he did baddua, he did dua to Allah, he cast a spell on my wife, I slapped him, and I was rude with him, and then he cursed my wife, and everyone in the village came together. He said, "Why should I curse your wife? That I don't curse anybody, I don't backbite anyone, or curse anyone, or think bad of anyone, I didn't curse him." No, he said, no, you cursed my wife. He said, "No, listen to me, there was some other point here, I didn't curse your wife. This is the point between two friends." Beautiful answer he gave. He said, "What's this, which two friends?" He said, "The reason was this, that I gave the pain to his friend, and that then he took the revenge, and he slept. And when he slept, then he, because he gave pain to me, then my friend took the revenge. Because he gave pain to me and my friend took the revenge. And who was his friend? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he walked off." So the muqarrab, the person who is intimate, close to Allah, becomes so close that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to his desires, Allah ta'ala does the response. Because the muqarrab is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he crushes his desires, he suppresses his desires, he follows Allah's orders, he understands haram and halal, lawful and lawful. His life is a reflection of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lifestyle. He's a muqarrab, he crushes his desires, there's no drama, games in his life, he's sincere. Then that person, shan, his status becomes so great that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says himself, that the person who pesters my friend, then he should be prepared for the challenge and competition with me. For the clash with me. Is it is not written in the Quran? Why is Allah Ta'ala defined the quality of his wali so much? Allah Ta'ala is explaining that become busy in my dhikr, you'll become the maqarab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who becomes close to Allah, then what is the position of that person? Think for a moment. Think. So what path is there that we don't have, that Allah Ta'ala has not told us? What actions are there that have not reached to us? What hadith are present? What solutions are present? But we don't do amal. We don't do amal. We are not focused towards practice of the solutions. We don't grab hold of the solutions that the Prophet ﷺ has prescribed to us physically, that will give us success in this world, in this dunya, and the hereafter. We don't go towards those actions. We listen, but we don't practice. So the dhikr of Allah, my friends, my brothers, is not an action. It is not an action that will give us waste of time, or will give us success, or it's just for a special cult or group or sect of people. No. The dhikr of Allah is for every human being, and it's essential for us to do to bring all of our deeds to the level of acceptance. The dhikr of Allah, if we do dhikr, we'll put light into our deeds, sincerity into our deeds, and as soon as sincerity comes into our deeds, in another hadith it is stated that the dhakir who does dhikr of Allah, his prayer and the prayer of the non-dhakir, the difference is like the difference between the heavens and the earth, the level, the gap. Because the person who doesn't do dhikr, he has no ikhlas. But the person who does dhikr, he has got ikhlas. He has washed his heart. He's cleaned his heart. So khalis, he will have lillahiyat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be no dunya, no world in his deeds. So do dua to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we know about life? May Allah ta'ala give us ikhlas. And ikhlas is not a thing that we can buy from a shop. Allah ta'ala has given us a worship deed. What is that deed? Say it loudly. Dhikr of Allah. If we do this deed, this act of worship, then ikhlas, sincerity will come into our deeds. Will we do it? Inshallah. Come in the morning with the fadl of Allah on Fajr. Let me see who comes to Fajr and who doesn't come to dhikr. That this dunya will remain here, brothers. These points and pearls from the Quran and Hadith are very lofty and special and essential pearls we need to implement. Once we sit for dhikr of Allah, our situation will change. Our personality will change. Our life will improve. Allah says that just come morning evening. Morning, bukratan wasila, sabah wasila. Come in the morning and the evening and remember me. And your whole day, whatever you do, I will become your kafil, Allah says. I will become your sponsor.
your protector. Do dhikr morning and evening, that's it. Now the majlis of dhikr is happening and you need to go to work as well. Then sit down according to the time you've got. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 5 minutes if you've got that time. You know you've got to go to work. This starts at 10:10, for example. After 10 minutes. And you've only got 10 minutes. Then 10 minutes sit down in the dhikr. Allah Ta'ala will saturate all of that dhikr into that 10 minutes. Allah says, at least he sat down and remembered me. The rest he has to go for the dunya. Okay, that's there. And Allah Ta'ala has given the means. Allah has given hukum. If you earn, obviously you have to earn money. You have to work to run the house. For the upkeep of the house, Allah has given you your wealth and your sustenance and your rizq. You have to earn to buy the food, to fill your stomachs for you, your wife, your children. You have to pay the bills. This is part of life. That's also ibadah and worship. But Allah Ta'ala says, you're not going empty-handed. You had time, 5-10 minutes. You sat in the dhikr of Allah. You remembered Allah. Then you left and went to the world to work. So will Allah not become the kafeen, the protector? Will Allah Ta'ala not become the manager of all of our affairs? But we don't. Allah says, don't worry. Come in whichever way and form, whichever uniform you want to come in. Allah knows best. You have to go to work from a direct. So just turn the direction of your car for a little moment, for a few moments. Do dhikr of Allah. And as long as Allah Ta'ala wants, this dhikr will continue. Will Allah wants it to stop, will stop. That, it's not in our hands, is it, that dhikr will happen every day here? It's Allah's choice. Sometimes dhikr will happen and Allah may stop it in the future. This is the fadl of Allah. We should do dua that Allah keep this dhikr consistent, regular. This is such an ocean that has opened in this village, in this town, that in our dua, the first dua we should make is, Allah, don't stop this dhikr that we're doing every day. Because we should know how valuable is this dhikr in the eyes of Allah. That all of the problems and distresses and calamities and destruction that Allah has diverted from this town, the noor that's coming due to dhikr. When people come from outside of Bolton, they come, they say, oh, we see a noor in this town. Wallahi, people say this. I'm telling you the truth. You know when people, the ulama scholars, come from outside, they go to the masjids where the majlis of dhikr takes place. They said that this masjid is unique for us. Feel special. What's happening here? The people have heard this. Ask them. They said, what action is going on? We don't understand. That here in this masjid, there's a great noor, light. And this is the effect and the result of the dhikr of Allah, my friends. It's not a minor thing. And Allah Ta'ala has given us such regularity. The oceans are spread and we're sleeping at the time. We're fussing over, oh, I don't have time. Are we not going to die? Tell me, on small excuses, we leave the dhikr of Allah. Look, your house is a 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes away. You got a car. You got the resources. Allah's dhikr is happening. The majlis, Allah says, sit down 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, according to your capacity. And Allah's given tawfiq. Then sit down. Take part in the gathering of dhikr. Are we going to pass away? Are we going to get ill? Are we all going to come from now? Yes, inshallah. So it's not necessary that if we sit down for an hour, you sit down for half an hour. Who told you to sit down for an hour? If you can't, if you have to work, this is the dhikr of Allah. If you've got time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, huh? Those who don't come, then this is an important point that I've said, that dhikr of Allah is happening. You've got a phone, you can't come physically to the majlis. You sit here 10 minutes, you have to leave, go into your car, go to the link, put your phone off, press play, and you'll do dhikr of Allah, you'll listen to the majlis, and you'll be included in the gathering. And while you're wandering around, Allah Ta'ala says that, I like this even more. I like this more, that every street and pavement will be a witness on the Day of Judgment. And your customers in your taxi will be a witness that he's a dhakir, he's doing dhikr of Allah. Leave that. Your car will be the witness. Your steering wheel will become a dhakir with the fadl of Allah. The wheels on your car will say, Allah, this is the car of the dhakir who's remembering you. Allah, let it run. Don't stop it. Give it barakah. So this is a big, big action of, you can say, ungratefulness if we don't do dhikr of Allah. And this may stop. Allah Ta'ala, when He wants, He can stop the dhikr of Allah from many places. Has dhikr not stopped? Where have those dhikr, where have those gardens of dhikr gone that used to be running before? ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَيْشَى. Everything is with the fadl of Allah, whatever is present. And especially, this is not a ni'mah. That the market is open and this shop is open today and this is here. The market's there. Let's buy a shop and the ni'mah's come. This is not the fadl of Allah. Oh, there's a shop close to my house. Buy a shop. Meat shop. I'll run this shop. I'll have this business and I'm happy. And the money's coming. This is ni'mah. La hawla wa la quwwata. Ni'mah of Allah is this. The Allah says in this masjid, the gathering of dhikr is taking place. This is the supreme gift of Allah. This is ni'mah of Allah. This is the reward of Allah. The treasure of Allah. We have to understand this is treasure. We don't understand the treasure. We say, oh, there's a market here, shop, business, company, money, profit. All day, all night, we are running after dunya and dunya and dunya. Totally, we are blind in reverse gear. Our brains have gone empty, upside down. We don't realize what is ni'mah, what is zahma, and what is adab, and what is thawab, and what is reward. What is the deed we should do to get all of the blessings in this world of the hereafter? Small hadith. I've told you that the dhikr of Allah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated his blessed words that have emanated from him that be busy in the dhikr of Allah and all of your desires will be fulfilled, O questioner. Now there's a point that comes out here, a great technical point. What is that? That he said, I want to be a muqarrab, please tell me the action. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what was the answer? That the question you ask me, you will get a greater answer than this and a greater result than this. Rasulullah said that all of your desires will be fulfilled. Desires. You're in the world, plural. You're in the world, all your desires will be fulfilled in parallel with being a muqarrab. Allah Ta'ala has not even left the dunya. After doing the dhikr of Allah, we have desires in this world, don't we? That Allah, I want this, I need this, Allah, give me this, I need this, I'm ill, give health, etc. My business is not flourishing, or I don't have a son, I have a desire, I don't have a daughter, I need this and that. These are all permissible desires. Everyone has this, isn't it? Because we are insan, we are full of desires. So Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah, rahmatul lil alameen. He didn't just look towards the akhirah. He said, you are a human being, I know this, and you're talking about becoming a muqarrab. In the hereafter, you will become the muqarrab. But on top of this, in parallel, all of your desires and requirements in the world will be fulfilled. So we should do dhikr of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.